Art, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well.
Thanks for joining us today. Has Seattle stopped shaking after what was a monumental win yesterday?
No, the vibration is still going on. There's some people who are drooling here. Some are weeping, and some are just sort of having a, kind of a civic orgasm, I guess, is one way to put it, because it was something special.
Was the first 55 minutes of that game the worst the Seahawks have played since Pete Carroll took over?
It's certainly for a game of significance. You know, they've had a couple of flat tires and other games here and there in the regular season. Of course, the first 2 years they were 7-9. But certainly for a game of this magnitude, that was terrible. And they all knew it. And, you know, give Green Bay credit. They're, you know, they got here for a reason. And it just... You know, the way it balanced out was it was 55 minutes of the worst football and 5 minutes of perfect football, and it worked.
Well, we got to talk about what was not working. I mean, that's a long time not to play well for the Hawks. What, in your opinion, was going wrong for the Hawks early on?
Well, there was no, you know, magic umbrella phrase to deal with it. I mean, Russell was off on his accuracy. Russell Wilson, the quarterback, was off on his accuracy. And there were at least six drops by receivers, including two by Jermaine Kearse, who would eventually atone at the last play of the game. They ran the ball reasonably well. Marshawn got 157 yards. That wasn't a problem. The defense played well. But three first-half turnovers, and then Doug Baldwin fumbled a kickoff return. So of their, I think it was six possessions in the first half, four ended up in turnovers, two were punts, and none produced points for 16-0 halftime deficit. I don't think there was any one thing wrong, although I would say that at right tackle, Alvin Bailey was substituted in for the starter, Justin Britt, and that hurt. There was a lot of pressure on Russell. He was forced into some bad throws, and that injury did take some consequence. He's expected to be back for the Super Bowl, so that problem shouldn't repeat later. But that was one thing. But clearly, and then they went three and out to start the second half. So it did look exceedingly grim for the sellout crowd.
How impressed were you with the mental toughness of Russell Wilson in this game?
Well, yes, you should. And by the way, I was going to mention, this is an opportunity for me to do so, if you want to know more about Russell Wilson's mental toughness and everything, my company has a book out called Russell Wilson Standing Tall, available on Amazon.com. So any of your listeners who care to know a little bit more about Russell have an opportunity by ordering this book. But to get to your question, Russell has an extraordinary amount of confidence. I don't think it's quite cockiness, but he has mentally rehearsed just about every precarious situation that a quarterback can find himself in for years. He's only 26, but he is very mature, very poised, and he just does not believe that he and this team can be stopped. And they proved it in such a dramatic way that you may have seen in the post game that Russell burst into tears a couple of times just trying to grasp the enormity of his own success. He is a remarkable guy.
We're joined by Art Thiel. You can read his stuff at sportspressnw.com, talking about the NFC champion Seattle Seahawks. Art, when I was preparing for this interview last night, I didn't anticipate I'd be asking you a question about the punter, but John Ryan threw a touchdown pass in the third quarter. Have you seen the Seahawks try something like this at all in the last couple of years?
Well, the Seahawks realized that no Saskatchewan native has ever thrown a touchdown pass in Super Bowl history, so they had to try to correct that. And they had installed this plan during the week because they had seen a blocking vulnerability in Green Bay's rush for point after and field goals. So they had Ryan, who's a very good athlete. He can run, and he obviously can throw the ball. I wouldn't recommend his form to any junior football player, but he had a run option pass on that play. They practiced it several times during the week, and Pete Carroll went to Gary Gilliam, the tackle who was eligible on this play, and said, "We're going to run this play. Are you ready?" And Gilliam said, "Yes." He's a 300-pound converted tackle who has had tight end experience at Penn State and college. And they set it up. They said, "This is our go. And Ryan had a choice. If the defender came to him, he would throw. If the defender stayed back, he would run. And the defender came, so he found Gilliam all alone, and it stunned the world. It was one of the great special teams moments in NFL history, as far as I'm concerned.
Taking a look at the defensive side for the Seahawks, they had some injuries in the second half of that game. Richard Sherman didn't look to be well. Earl Thomas didn't look to be well at all. How serious were those injuries, and were you surprised that the Packers didn't try to exploit the Seahawks' injuries in the second half?
I think the injuries are survivable. Both of them have said through sources that they are going to be able to play in the Super Bowl. How well remains to be seen. But for now, they were both hurt. I think Richard had a dislocated elbow, and Thomas had a dislocated shoulder, which he popped back in himself. But they were both very limited, and especially Sherman. I don't know if McCarthy or Aaron Rodgers of the Packers understood how hurt Sherman was. I don't know how you could have missed it, but they certainly didn't go to Jordy Nelson. I would have been throwing that ball every time to Nelson to make Sherman commit and either get hurt or get out or, you know, try to make a play one-handed. But they didn't, and that was one of several, you know, misplays or misjudgments on behalf of the Packers. It played into Seattle's perfect final 5 minutes.
Pete Carroll, obviously happy with the outcome. Can't be happy, though, with the whole game. What do you think Pete Carroll can do in the next couple of weeks to kind of, you know, change what we saw as perhaps some issues with the Seahawks game plan?
Well, I don't know if there was a game plan problem as much as just simple execution, and that's something that Carroll, he's not happy about it, but he can live with it. I don't think it requires any reworking of much other than getting a healthy right tackle back in there. I think the rest of it is, a lot of it is just the excellent defense of the Packers and mishaps that can't be coached around. I mean, to have Kurse have two balls in his hand and pop out, there's not much to be done about that, as well as the kickoff return by Baldwin. You know, so I think, you know, a series of mishaps by veteran players who will typically do better all happened at once, including some problems in the offensive line, which has always been the Seahawks' weakest link for these last 2 years. So I think all of those are fixable. Nothing I think I saw nor that Carroll saw is symptomatic of something larger.
I've never been in a game in Seattle. Maybe tell us what it was like when they had some of the success they had the last 5 minutes of the game.
Well, I think to get a sense of it, you would need to put your hand in put your head in an aluminum garbage can and take a baseball bat and pound on the side of it for about 5 minutes. That's the atmosphere at CenturyLink for the opposing team. It was incredibly intense there, and in terms of, you know, the Seahawks, have obviously they feast on that kind of distraction for the team, and the execution down the stretch was absolutely perfect, including the onside kick that was recovered by Chris Matthews, a former CFL Rookie of the Year, and he had the big special teams play along with Ryan and Gilliam. All of that had to work to perfection, including after Marshawn Lynch scored a touchdown, the two-point conversion. That was astonishing. That was a play that was broken twice, I think, and it was a Hail Mary for a two-yard gain, and it worked.
Art, we'll get you out here on this one. After the game, Doug Baldwin was fired up, obviously, as all the Seahawks were, and we saw this last year, of course, with Richard Sherman and Aaron Andrews. The Seahawks really have an us-against-the-world mentality. I guess, as someone who covers the team and deals with them regularly, how is that to work with, and are they really the underdogs going up against the Patriots?
Well, they do love the us against the world thing. I mean, it's one of the oldest cliches in sports. Those of us around the team a lot get a little tired of it. And especially with the Seahawks, I mean, Doug Baldwin had that rant, which I thought was pretty funny. But it is getting tiresome for them to rely on, you know, everybody didn't believe us, you know, and when we were 3-3 and 6-4, nobody believed us. And which, frankly, is a load of crap. I think the Seahawks were favored all last season to make the Super Bowl, and even though they were underdogs in the game, beating Denver was not a shock to anyone. The depth and breadth of it was. But the other issue is that, you know, they're trying to manufacture this disrespect card because Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse are undrafted free agents. They don't come with the typical NFL pedigree, and they've always worn that on their sleeve. And I understand that, and, you know, I guess whatever works, but I think Baldwin is starting to wear thin the act of, oh, poor us, we're so disrespected. Nobody, you know, respects us. And if you can't respect the Seahawks after that game, you should not be watching sports.
Oh, absolutely. They take on the Patriots in 2 weeks' time, February 1st, from Arizona, Super Bowl 49. Art, when do you take off for Arizona?
I am going on Sunday morning for the week of hype, hysteria, and goofballness that is the epitome of the crassness and excess of the American culture.
Well, what do you think of having the 2 weeks between Championship Sunday and Super Bowl? Is that good for the league, or should they just get it going with and play it on Sunday?
Well, I think they, you know, from their standpoint, they make a lot of hype and a lot of money off the hype by doing this two-week period, and that's where when it's been mostly. It was a few years where they tried a one-week gap, but the game has taken on such cultural significance that 2 weeks of run-up has just sort of been a custom now, and I don't think it hurts, and I also think it allows the two teams that are going to play in this game to get a little bit healthier, so I don't think there's any problem with that. And from a Seahawks fan perspective, I think the fans here love it because Pete Carroll does a great job in game planning when he's got an extra week. His record is something like 35-1 if you count all the big bowl games and playoff games that he's been in with extra time. So he does well in this environment.
Art, I appreciate your time. Tell the fine folks where they can read your stuff here.
It's, again, at sportspress.com, sportspressnw.com, and the book Russell Wilson, Standing Tall, is available at amazon.com.
All right, I appreciate your time today. Enjoy this week off and enjoy the Super Bowl.
I can't wait. See ya.